whenever the Bible offers an encouragement or an admonishment, it is on a subject that we need it, not on a subject that we don't. And when it says, don't lose heart in doing good, I need you to understand that admonishment is there because it is so perilously easy to lose our heart, our zeal, our determination for the doing of good works. It's easy for that to happen, but it's always a tragedy when it does.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to say thanks for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries in the iTunes store, where you can also subscribe to the podcast and get the weekly message sent automatically to you by clicking the subscribe button. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Terry as he preaches this week's insightful message.
Good morning again. Today is Ruritan Sunday. And Walt Phillips asked me, Walt is our current president, Walt known to many of you. And Walt took up this work at a difficult time leading the club through the pandemic. And just all kudos to Walt for the work that he has done. We have several Ruritaners here. Let me ask all the Ruritaners to stand, if you would, for just a moment. Yeah, big hand for these guys. Now, I have been a member of the club for a number of years, and I can tell you that Ruritans are about men and now women, too. We have moved into the 21st century. Women are welcome in Ruritan, banding together to do good in our community. I'll tell you just a little bit about it. The Ruritan collects and maintains a large assortment of hospital equipment, beds, wheelchairs, scooters, walkers, shower helps, all sorts of things. And when people have sickness and injury, the club transports those things free of charge to the homes of the folks who need them, and they can use them free of charge for as long as they need them. Because the last thing you need when you're sick and hurt is another expense for all those therapeutic aids that you will need if you are going to be cared for in your home. In the course of the years, there have been a number of house fires in this community, and there has yet to be a house fire presented to the Ruritan Club where the club did not send money to help people who had lost perhaps everything or near it that they owned in the fire. The Ruritan raises money for scholarships for young people from local high schools as they go off to college so that we can help them to complete their education and pursue their goals in life. The Ruritan does some work for the environment in recycling and taking care of matters like that. The Ruritan gives special gifts at Christmas time. The Ruritan supports several community pantries, including that they support our pantry here at Indian Run Christian Church by a few hundred dollars every year, but other pantries around so that there will be food in them when the need comes and the hungry need fed. I could go on for a while, because the Ruritan Club has been involved in so many good works. And these men, and now a few women who are on the membership roster, have committed themselves to doing these works, and they strive mightily to see that they get done. Just yesterday, a few Ruritaners were out putting up the flags in Robertsville to add to the patriotic spirit for the coming holiday celebration. So matters great and small, the club is dedicated to doing good works. We have been privileged at Indian Run Christian Church to support the Ruritan Club in several ways, providing help for some of the fundraisers and other activities, and many of us are members of the club from the congregation. But I know that the club would be glad to talk to anybody who wanted to become involved further in these works. But for the moment, one more time, let me have a round of applause for the Ruritan. Since it is Ruritan Sunday, I proposed to preach on the doing of good works. And I had Russell read for us there from Galatians, "Do not lose heart in doing good." This is an important verse. I'll get down to Paul singling it out in a little bit, but it's an important verse. And the first thing I want to tell you is that the Bible never includes a useless or gratuitous admonishment or encouragement. If that didn't make sense to you, let me say it this way. The Bible never says anything like, "Don't give up eating pie." You know why? Because there isn't any danger, at least not for a person like me, that I would ever give up eating pie. I don't need to be told not to give up eating pie. I love pie. I will always eat pie. If that verse existed in the Bible, I bet that I could trace it back in the original language to make it refer to cherry or lemon pie, specifically, because those are my favorites. The Bible never says anything useless like, "Okay, you guys, quit taking your feet off and putting them on backwards." It doesn't say that, because who would do such a thing? Who could? Well, what I mean is that whenever the Bible offers an encouragement or an admonishment, it is on a subject that we need it, not on a subject that we don't. And when it says, "Don't lose heart in doing good," I need you to understand that admonishment is there because it is so perilously easy to lose our heart, our zeal, our determination for the doing of good works. It's easy for that to happen, but it's always a tragedy when it does. It happens sometimes because the works themselves can end up being frustrating. Everybody who has done benevolence work, and benevolence work is that field of Christian work where you feed the hungry and care for the sick, things we were talking about a little bit ago. Everyone who has done benevolence work knows that there are times when it is more frustrating than other times. That you mean to do good and there are people who will take advantage of it for their own selfish and nefarious purposes. There are people who will double dip at every opportunity. There are people who will try to wheedle cash out of you, and you know that if you give them cash, they're going to spend it on their sinful, self-destructive habits. There are people who will take advantage. And over the years, I have just said to myself, "Terry, if people take advantage of you, that's on them. I can only do what Christ calls me to do." And sometimes you do benevolence work and people are just not as grateful as you would hope that they would be. I've told this before, some years ago, but back before we did the regular monthly grocery giveaway, we did occasional kind of deliveries. People would turn in names at Thanksgiving time, and we'd spend a day running around taking Thanksgiving baskets all over creation to all the names that had been turned in. And they were pretty good baskets. It would be a frozen turkey and a few boxes of food with some potatoes and some crackers and some stuffing and then this and that, and it was pretty good Thanksgiving basket. And I remember one Thanksgiving, I spent the whole day running back and forth from the church to load the cooler with frozen turkeys again and put boxes of groceries in the car and take off and get them delivered. And I remember one stop in particular. After the two or three trips from the car to the door, it took me to get all the stuff there and put into this house. I turned to leave, say God bless you, and leave. And the lady is looking over the stuff and she says, "Only one turkey?" What rose up in my throat that didn't say was, you know, it's not too late for me to take all this back. But sometimes people are not as grateful as you would like them to be. And sometimes the work itself is hard. But then there is that one person whose life you change by a small gift, a small act of service and love. And they will never be the same because it was a watershed moment for them. And I've known those moments as well. And they more than make up for all the frustrating, disappointing ones. Evangelism. People in the church who do the work of evangelism know that it is difficult. And it's not nearly as difficult for us as the people in the New Testament who first did the work of evangelism, because people throwed rocks at them to kill them and chased them out of town and threw them in jail and put them in stocks and beat them with whips trying to discourage their evangelistic spirit. But they kept it up, and when at the cost of all that effort and pain and shed blood, people were brought into the kingdom, sometimes you couldn't keep them. Paul talks about Demas, who came in and who left and went back out into the world. And Nicholas, one of the original seven deacons, they're described in the sixth chapter of the book of Acts, when those men were called to help with the benevolence program of the church. These men who were the first ones to fill the office of deacons, all seven of them are named. We know some of them. But Nicholas, one of those original seven, became a heretic who preached that thing which Paul so opposed, saying, "Let us sin, that grace may abound." And Nicholas is roundly condemned in the book of Revelation as the father of the Nicolaitans, who were so harmful to the message of the gospel. Sometimes you do all the work to bring people in, and subsequently you lose them. And it's heartbreaking. But then there's Timothy and Titus and others like them who were brought in and became such a positive force for good in the world. Key agents in the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that too makes up for all the trouble spots. There's a good work done in worship. I called on Mike to help with the Southern Gospel music today in Stacy's absence. I had recently put Stacy to leading the songs because, and today is good evidence, I begin to struggle more and more with my voice. And it's just very difficult for me to lead seven songs through a service and preach the sermon. I just don't have the voice left for it anymore. So I called for Mike to come in today and help at a place he's not accustomed to, a style of music he's not accustomed to, and everything else. And he was gracious enough to come in and do that for us. But Mike does good work in this today and in his regular work with the contemporary praise team, which will be back up front next Sunday. And all the members of both praise teams do a good work, and the ladies at the piano and the song leaders at the pulpit, everybody who leads in worship is doing a good work, and I so appreciate it. Right hand for the people who work in the worship program. But everybody who has worked in the worship program is familiar with this phenomenon, that after all the work you do, after all the labor and the practice and the love that you put into it, you finish a service and here's what you catch. That was too slow, or too fast, or too loud, or too soft. That music's too old. That music's too modern. Why are we singing funeral dirges? What do you think this is? A birthday party? It's like, wow. You can't make anybody happy. But then there are those moments when God inhabits our praise. And the Spirit fills our hearts in the expression of our love for Him. And it is worth all the more frustrating moments. I get the frustrations. Housewives, didn't I just clean this mess? Husbands, didn't I just mow this grass? Both. Didn't we just pull these weeds? Preachers. Didn't I just preach against this very thing? I guess I shouldn't complain about that. Preachers have job security because we're not likely to run out of sinners anytime soon. So keep up the good work, right? The Bible assures us that we are not likely to run out of misery anytime soon either. But I want to tell you, this is more reason to keep doing good works than to stop doing them. The need is so great. And there's another half to this passage. Do not lose heart in doing good, for we will reap in due time if we do not grow weary. Well, there's two things here. The weariness, we all understand that. How many of us have just been tired? You know what I'm talking about then. And it happens to us on a more permanent than transitory basis sometimes. And it's like, I know what God wants me to do. I know what I should be doing, but I'm just worn out. I have just become weary in my walk. And so I quit. What a shame. What a tragedy. Because we will reap in due time if we do not grow weary. Reap what? Well, I guess that's the question. What is this harvest that is to come to us if we don't grow weary and keep doing the good works? Well, as I said to the kids in Ephesians 2:10, we are told that God created us for the specific purpose of doing good works. And you have heard people say, I was born to do this thing. I was made to do that thing. It is my purpose in life to accomplish these things. And I'm just going to tell you, we will never be as happy as we ought. We will never be as satisfied as we ought. We will never be as at peace as we ought until we begin to fulfill the purposes for which we were made. And one of them, Paul says, is we were created to do good works. We will be happier when we get about them. Second, Matthew 5:16 says, that when we do good works, others may see them and they may be moved to give glory to God. Which is to say, to recognize that God is beautiful. Amen? You see, God is attractive. And each of us in our hearts knows this. We are drawn to Him because He is attractive. And when the world sees the attractiveness, this is the glory of God, they too will be drawn to Him. And one of the little telescopes in which they can begin to see that glorious beauty of God is in the good works of those who bear the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Let us do good works. Third, if you read the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, or if you read the little epistle of 1 John, you discover this, that good works are the outpouring of a heart filled with love. And love is the most wonderful, the greatest, the most powerful thing that we will ever experience. Now, I know someone will say, salvation, forgiveness of sins. Well, if you don't think that's related to love, you have not understood salvation. Here is the most glorious truth. While we were yet sinners, God loved us. And when we know His love, and when our hearts are filled with love like His, good works will pour forth naturally as the result of that love. The good works we were created to do. The good works that will cause other people to be drawn to Him. These good works are the product of our hearts being filled with His love. So do good works. Well, there's another half to the passage. Do good works. Do them when? At every opportunity. While the opportunity presents itself, Paul says. And I will tell you, opportunities invariably pass. In the short term, there is this opportunity to do good works, but it has an expiration date on it. The opportunity will not last forever. And if you missed it, it is gone. And in the bigger sense, all opportunity has an expiration date on it. That date will be printed on yours and my death certificates at least. And in bolder print at the end of the age, when all things are made new and it is too late for people who might have come had they seen our good works to do so. And it is too late for us to have made more progress with God in the here and now. When do good works? At every opportunity. While the opportunity presents itself, which is not forever. To whom do good works? To all people, Paul says. Everyone you have ever met. Everyone you ever will meet is a potential recipient of the good works God made you to do. To all people, especially, Paul says, to the household of faith, but to all people at every opportunity, while the opportunity lasts. We didn't read this part, but Paul follows this up. He says, see with what big letters I have written this with my own hand. He dictated the rest of the letter, and somebody with nice handwriting wrote it all up. But here Paul took and made his own scrawl in big bold letters. See with what large letters I have written this so that you will know that this is from me personally and it is important to me. Perhaps the most important couple of verses in the entirety of the letter to the Galatians. Do not lose heart in doing good, for we will reap in due time if we do not grow weary. Thus do good works at every opportunity, while the opportunity exists, to all people, and especially the household of faith. If you would bow your heads with me for a moment. Father God, preserve us from the weariness of the world and fill us with your Spirit that we may accomplish your will and the purpose for which you have put us in this place and these times, and do good works that others may be drawn to you. Help us to see the urgency of the opportunity and the brevity of it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.